Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, we have a coronation, a crocodile hunter, and a breakup song. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We are hoping that you're having a kick-ass Tuesday. As we break down SmackDown live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzzTV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, you're liking, subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about the world of AfterBuzzTV. What's up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Tom is having a cold because he's just so sick of the fact that he was incorrect about saying it in English was going to turn on Rusev tonight. So he couldn't come in, but filling in is Mr. Steve Kaufman.
I am, in fact, here. I also thought he had a cold because he's too busy taking over the world of retail.
He 3D printed himself a cold.
Yes.
That's right. But fear not, because Gabby Loren is here as well.
That's me.
Oh, God. You're doing that again from last week.
Yeah.
It's our catchphrase.
Oh, no.
I think it's my new thing.
We need a t-shirt of that.
That'd be awesome.
Make that happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Steve, you're going to design it.
I was about to say, you said that into the ether like I'm not the one you
this
ask.
Is happening. Yes, Steve may design. You didn't design. Did you design this one? I don't remember.
That's the only one of yours I didn't design.
Okay. Well, ProWrestlingTees.com.
Wait a sec. I still don't have any t-shirts
well,
yet.
Get on the store.
There were two Gabby Manias I made.
Yeah,
and sent
you made
to you.
It, and I just didn't wind up jumping on it yet. Would you guys buy it? I need to know first before I go all out for this, because if I don't have enough people that want it,
we'll
then
put a poll up. We'll put a poll up for that. But we got to get into this, guys. Hell in a Cell has come and gone. Some pretty crazy things happen, and then in good old SmackDown fashion, we don't dwell on the past.
Mm.
The SmackDown after the pay-per-view just marches forward, and my God, did they do that tonight.
For real. I think Raw and SmackDown tonight have made me feel like they're in a real hurry to put together this stadium show. This Australia stadium show. They're like, oh my God, we need matches. To make the matches.
Wait, you mean like they might have too many pay-per-views at once? Is that what you're thinking?
More than that, I think I did the math, because the next WrestleMania will be April 8th and the previous WrestleMania was April 7th. That will mean they had 6 stadium shows in a 365-day period. From April 8th 2000.
Yeah, we get it.
Or 367 days. Sorry, like
There 365 days in a year?
Yes, I don't quote my.
Yeah, I don't know. This is why I'm kind of ignoring it. Gabby, what did you think?
I loved Hell in a Cell. I mean, there were certain things I would have done differently if I was writing the show. But, I mean, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, what an incredible match. Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy really, you know, wanted to bury me. I handled it. It was a cool match. But there were times where I was very nervous that I was going to get sick watching it. So I don't think, instead of dwelling in the past, we're actually more so recapping the past, because that's what WWE likes to do.
Well, I was talking about how the fact that we're marching in the future right now, because we're not dwelling on past storylines per
se. They're
moving right into the next chapters to get going.
Well, I also feel like a lot of storylines had to keep a continuation going. They didn't do many title changes because they wanted to move forward into those other shows.
Definitely.
We're also in that weird SummerSlam to Royal Rumble time, where some people wind up in holding patterns and other people wind up in places you'd never expect them.
Right. Yeah. I'm almost like wondering, you know, what's going to happen with AJ and Samoa Joe, because I love Samoa Joe and I think he deserves a championship, but AJ is such a good defender that it would almost make sense for him to keep it still and have it going all the way to the next WrestleMania.
Well, we'll get into that in a lot. We got to start off, though, with the victorious Miz and his special guest for Miz TV.
Maurice.
He did a lot. He pulled a lot of strings to get this guest.
Reality television star.
Major reality television star. Legendary Divas champion. And his wife, Maurice.
Yeah. But man, I don't know how he did it.
Yeah. Now, this first time they publicly announced on TV the match between Daniel Bryan and Miz that's going to happen at Super Showdown in Australia, where the winner gets a shot at the WWE title. Even though they announced that about a month ago, they haven't really talked about it at all. Mm. And Maryse talks about how beating Brie was the easiest thing she's ever done in her life. And the only reason Brie married Daniel Bryan was to stay relevant in WWE. But I have a major announcement. Tonight is my last night on SmackDown Live for now. Crowd goes nuts. And Miz gets offended. Then the crowd starts yelling at him some more. And Miz is very angry. So he said, you know what? I'm going to take... This is all on your hands. Daniel Bryan, come out. I'm going to beat you up again.
Was it not shocking to you that Maryse announced that it was her last night on SmackDown
when
we have all of these pay-per-views coming up?
Not at all. Because they could also be part of a trick. They could very, she could very well, she might have a match on Evolution, but she doesn't necessarily need to be on all these shows. She did a great part with the story headed into Hell in a Cell with a mixed tag. It added another ingredient in the Miz-Dan O'Brien feud, but she does not need to stay there, as and Brie doesn't either. But it was good to have it in there for now. Now we move on to this, where the number one contender match happens. Hopefully, in some magical world, somehow Miz becomes champion, Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble, and everyone celebrates at WrestleMania when Bryan beats him finally. But that's a long-term plan.
Sure.
Which we know never happens. At least the ones I want. So Daniel Bryan runs to the ring. He starts fighting with the Miz. Bryan knocks Miz into Maryse, and all of a sudden she's holding her stomach. They call it the EMTs. Daniel Bryan's in there, very concerned. Miz goes to get a bottle of water and then just stands there for an awkwardly long time. Finally, he grabs Daniel Bryan after Maryse gets up and starts laughing. He gets up to try to go to the Skull Crusher finale, but Daniel Bryan countered, then knocks Miz into Maryse again and clotheslines Miz out of the ring. And then Bryan's backstage talking about how Miz is a coward, and at Super Showdown, I'm not going to just punch him in the face. I'm going to punch my ticket for an opportunity at the WWE title.
I like this.
It was good.
I've been outspoken for thinking they should like have a better long-term plan for them than just keep coming back. But I like this. There's going to be a lot of fire heading into the stadium show, and then I don't know. I guess Miz wins.
I think Maryse will definitely be back because I think they need this in the storyline in order for one of these two guys to keep it going and someone to come out with a win.
And we'll see. I mean, it was a good portion of the story. It was the first segment of the show. That's all we had on it. It didn't oversaturate the show. We got what we needed as far as the movement for it. Now we know, okay, next step, Super Showdown. They're going one-on-one again. But now a title shot is on the line. So there's something that they're looking past each other to get, which is another good attribute to put in this feud.
Yeah. And some stakes.
Yes. Add a little stakes in there.
Which is weird because Daniel Bryan is vegan.
Oh,
thank you.
Steve Kaufman, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Kaufman.
Here all week. Tip your waitresses.
Speaking of that, Steve Kaufman, you were so good with that zinger. I feel like you have a good message to tell all our wonderful
I do have
After
a good
Buzz
message,
listeners.
After Buzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite television shows, from dramas, reality television, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz TV continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. Also, YouTube feeds you exactly what you want, even if you click the bell. That's kind of my profession. I know the deal. So hit the subscribe button for this channel and check out all the other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did in the comments, and we will thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
There you go. Cesaro versus Kofi. We know The Bar gets a shot at titles in Australia as well. However, before we can get into this match, I think we have a Christian's Closet segment.
Okay.
You look so good to me.
We're going crocodile hunting, everybody.
Biggie. Do you pick these because they're stylish, or do you pick it because it's different?
Oh, I pick them because they stand out.
So stand out as in you'd wear it, and that's why it's in your closet?
Some I may wear. Some I may be like, what are you thinking? Some may be just perfection. And tonight was perfection. Big E and Xavier Woods, I mean, I thought we were on a safari. They had the hat. They had the tight khaki shorts. They had the matching khaki button-down shirt. We were I felt like we were looking for some dingoes, some Tasmanian devils, because those do exist in Australia, right?
The dingo ate your baby.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yeah,
Cracky, we're here looking for the Tasmaniac. We're at a bingo hall.
But on top of it, Big E then tries to do an Australian accent, and then Kofi is the one, a.k.a. used to do a Jamaican accent, Kofi being like, making up an accent's offensive. But then Big E's like, oh, no, I talked to the Iconics. They're cool with it.
Mm.
Hey, we threw other things in there. It was good. It was funny. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed their outfits, and got the music.
I will mention that the New Day are really good at getting something like this over.
Yes.
It's to a point where they just have pancakes in a box of Bootios, and you'd probably forget at one point they were in a lumberjack match, probably in Canada.
Where it all started.
And they dressed like lumberjacks, and then that's where pancakes started.
Yes.
They get stuff over so hard.
Yes.
And then let it be a part of their mythos. They have a mythos, guys.
Well, what else we have apparently is Cesaro... He was outed tonight for having large areolas.
So random.
Whew. That was quite random. But that's something that Big E would do.
Yeah.
So it was funny.
Also, you can't say that's not something you haven't noticed before now.
Seriously?
You may not have thought about it, but I don't know.
It was never a thought for me. That was a thought for you, Steve?
In the past, like, 10 years, I've seen Cesaro wrestle? Yes. I have noticed it before.
Fair enough.
Haven't commented on it, though?
It wasn't that noteworthy. I fleetingly noticed.
Do we need to play the Christian's Closet music on your perception on that?
No. It was just like, wow, in relation to the rest of his torso, those are not proportional.
No, there you go. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, that's all they, like, I could probably rush a drink on them.
Chatroll, what do you guys think?
I don't know if we want to ask Chatroll that question, but...
Hashtag Cesaro's areolas.
Yeah.
Cesariolas.
Why are you coming up with these? Cesaro and Kofi, really fun match. These two always have a really good match. It's very underrated because they don't ever have any real build between the two of them, but when they have matches, they're so good. I remember when I was doing the AfterBuzz for Main Event, which was like 30 years ago now.
Oh, yeah. Before I even came on.
Well, before you. Cesaro and Kofi had a match on Main Event that I thought was the match of that year. Like, I thought it was the match of 2014 out of all WWE. And they could deliver. And, you know, it was fun, this match. The finish was cool when Cesaro did a really fierce kick onto Kofi's knee and then just deadlifted him from the ground into his neutralizer, gets to win, and they're pushing the story of New Day always seems to, or the Bar, excuse me, always seems to have the New Day's number. And yeah. Here was another win for them.
Historically, actually.
Yeah, that's why, because they're the ones who ended their long streak.
Mm-hmm.
They almost always seems to beat them in these big matches.
I really like this match. I thought that these two together, I agree with you, they are really good wrestlers, and they work well together. So I'd like to see more of the Bar against the New Day, and we are getting that at the next pay-per-view for championship title, right?
Tag team at Australia.
So that should be really interesting to watch. I think SmackDown always delivers when it comes to wrestling. Like, for the most part, they have really good match cards always week to week, and we're always seeing really stellar guys being put together and paired up.
Yep. Rusev and Lana are backstage with Aiden English, and he's like, I know last night was a tough loss, but I have a good feeling about tonight. And Rusev's like, yeah, because you're not going to be there. We all have to pull our weight, and if that was your best last night, then it's not good enough. Rusev and Lana walk away, and then a random producer walks by, and Aiden English finally vents his true feelings to this producer, yelling at him, saying, everything about Rusev Day was because of me. They'd be nothing without me. Lana would be nothing without me. Rusev would be nothing without me. All of his failures are her fault.
Hmm.
And then he turns around, and Lana happens to be right there. And she needs to go tell Rusev what's going on. So she runs, and Aiden chases after her.
Shoes and heels.
I'm surprised it took him that long to catch up to her.
Seriously.
Huh? Yeah. But before we find out what happens with that, we cut to the production truck. Where Randy Orton broke in. And if there's anyone that truly defines the be a star mentality, it is one Randall Orton. Yelling at the production guy to get the certain screenshots Okay. I don't remember the last time I winced and like when like covered my face as much during a match as I did when he started turning the screwdriver on Jeff Hardy's ear. Because I was wondering when he grabbed it, I'm just like, well, it's actually still thin enough to go through it, so I get the effect, but why? Oh, he's twisting. Oh my God, that was disgusting. But he wants to stare at it. But meanwhile, he's hurting the poor production guy. Please, sir, you're hurting me.
Also, I don't know where your hands have been.
What is that?
Y'all get that later. Never mind.
No, it's a boo.
It's a thing.
Boo.
Well, I will be honest. During the pay-per-view, I watched. I didn't look away. But for some reason tonight, on the replay of it on the screen, I think I couldn't. I couldn't do it again. It was just too much.
Well, Randy said, like, you know, if you think this is disturbing, this will pale in comparison to what I do to my next victim.
Who is his next victim?
It's got to be R-Truth. I was just thinking because he wasn't on and he's been around for a long time. If that's going to be his shtick of people who've been around a long time, then it will be R-Truth. Otherwise, I don't know, because AJ's obviously feuding with Joe, so it's not going to be either of them.
Is Curt Hawkins on SmackDown?
No.
No, he's on Raw?
Yeah. I don't know what, Curt Hawkins?
Well, you people who've been around forever. Curt Hawkins is, I think Curt Hawkins is probably the oldest contract there. Just top of my head, I would have, like, except for, like, Kane.
Yeah,
Kane, like.
Unless somehow he gets himself involved in the Dan O'Brien stuff.
I don't see that
happening.
I don't know,
but I like it.
Nakamura, probably.
Well, that would be weird because they're both heels.
But I don't know.
But
you'd figure that out.
But this is interesting, though, because we're all questioning.
I just got something.
You just got something?
Your joke, now I understand.
You don't need to explain it.
It's because of the accusations, right?
Yeah.
When someone in the chat said the cheat sheets, then I just realized, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh no, I knew what he meant 5 minutes ago when he said.
It's a solid reference. I don't know what y'all are.
No, you didn't know.
Yes, I did.
Agree. You were with me. You didn't get it.
No, I 100% got it, but it's a PG show, and I'm not going to bring up.
Who said it was PG?
Who said what was PG? That reference is not at all PG.
Did I say anything?
No, I'm talking about what Steve referenced.
What he did. I didn't give details.
Okay. We're going to move on and get away from that bad thing that he's done to many people. And we're going to go to AJ Styles in the ring. Because after everything that Joe has put his family... Oh, I'm sorry, it's a promo actually backstage. Everything that Joe has put his family through, the worst thing that could have happened was if Joe won the title. Sometimes Lady Luck shines in you, but maybe he was robbed because of karma. But in Australia, the match is going to be no disqualification, but I need to stop focusing on Joe because Almas will beat me then. I love that he put Almas over in this, talking about how great Almas is and that he can't think about Joe. He has to focus because he's so good.
I'm actually not a huge fan of the stuff people have been saying about like how Andrade has been an afterthought on SmackDown this whole time. He's like looking like a champ next to literal champs, week in, week out. Like I don't quite understand what people are saying. Like, oh, he just keeps playing second fiddle here. I'm like, no, he'll be a final four, final two in the Royal Rumble this year, and we'll all believe it.
I think it's only because he's not being used as much as we'd like him to be. But ultimately, yeah, he does look strong in the ring, and when he is being placed, he's being placed with really strong wrestlers as well.
Well, and it is really interesting because I totally see your point because he is being placed in these big matches. But he's not really in any feud.
Yeah.
He's getting to be in these big matches. He's wrestling with these guys, just narrowly losing. But everyone's taking him seriously as a serious contender. But he doesn't have any rivalry.
You know why that may be? His English is not that great right now. So maybe behind the scenes they're working on him being able to deliver promotions.
Well, that's where Zelina comes in. That's why she's there.
Zelina's great, but I think if you're going to be a champ at some point, you need to hold your own too.
See Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar.
Well, yeah, but that's a different story. Brock's his own character. He's a strong head from UFC. He came in having to like play the character that he does nothing. He just shows up.
What about when Brock Lesnar first started? He was with Paul Heyman the whole time too.
I will say that your example's correct. However, that's not how the people who make this show, that's not how they see it for everyone.
Well, of course not.
So like I do agree that's probably part of the reason why. I also think they have a lack of depth in the middle of their card, Which is good because you have a bunch of guys from Shinsuke Nakamura to AJ Styles that are all contenders for the world title. But it's bad because you have a guy like Andrade Cien Almas that you want to run through the roster, and then there's no roster for him to run through. Everybody's a mid, like everybody's upper an upper card talent. That's an embarrassment of riches, but that's why he doesn't feel like he has much to do every night, rivalry wise. Because it's right. Like, well, who's he gonna?
Well, that's the thing. It's a matter of trying to set someone with him for a rivalry, and they really haven't done that. He had Rusev for a couple weeks, but that was really the extent of it.
Well, I'm sure at some point he will, but also at this point, like SmackDown is a 2-hour show. There is not enough time in this show for him to have a major storyline as of yet.
Perhaps he had something noteworthy with Sin Cara.
Very quick though. It was like in and out.
Well, because and then Sin Cara
got hurt.
Knee, I think. And then I do think Zelina Vega should talk for him more and then use that to catapult them into something where Zelina Vega's not wrestling.
Right.
But I don't know.
Nakamura defending the US title against Rusev. So they English and Lana finally reach Rusev 20 minutes later. The stuff. No, wait, before we go out there. No, you need to hear what Anglin English just said. No, I don't have time for that. I got to focus. Whatever you have to say can wait. Aiden, please do the honors and leave me out there. Okay, great. He does his intro. They're having their match. It was a fun match. Crowd was into it. Crowd, like 50-50, going back and forth between who they wanted to win, but they were into it. I enjoyed this Tulsa crowd tonight. I thought they did a good job. A lot of people... middle of the country, not always have the strongest crowds. I thought Tulsa did a very good job tonight.
Tulsa's an awesome place.
I've never been there, honestly. Have you been there?
I actually performed in that same arena, most likely.
Doing what?
When I was on Monster Jam.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, I went to Tulsa. Well, actually, wait. No.
Just go for it.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Did I?
You were in Tulsa.
No, wait, sorry. I've been to Tulsa, but I was just trying to recap if, like, that was the arena I did my show at, or that was the one that the other coast did their show at, and I was just at rehearsal for it.
Well, whichever one that was a louder reaction. Bigger crowd, louder reaction, because you're so much better than whoever else was there.
Thanks. Yeah. You know, honestly, Tulsa's a really fun place, and the people are so sweet, but... going back to, like, what we're talking about, I'm, like, really upset with what they're doing with Rusev Day because they didn't give them a fair chance, and now they're breaking up the group. Like, what?
We knew this was happening for months.
Yeah, we knew they were going to go in this direction, but too soon, like, give Rusev a championship as Rusev Day. You've sold merch for Rusev Day, and now you're destroying Rusev Day. Well, I just don't get it.
No, Rusev Day will still be Rusev Day.
Yeah, but it's not the same without Aiden and Rusev together as Rusev Day.
It was Rusev Day before Aiden.
Yeah, it was just Aiden singing it. But Rusev started it by himself before Aiden.
It wasn't what it was.
It was Rusev Day when he got that key to the city.
Yeah.
Like, that's when they claimed that Rusev Day then.
Yeah, but Aiden was still in his corner.
Not then.
Yeah, he was.
Not at that point.
Okay, well, it didn't become popular until Aiden.
Well, Aiden made him much more popular, yes, because of singing.
However, if at the end of this, Aiden English is a legitimate contender and then Rusev is a legitimate contender, everyone wins because you know what you can do in 6 months? Put them back together.
Or have them feud for the U.S. title with English as the champion.
Yeah, they're going to do Rusev versus Aiden at some point. That's my prediction.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen.
Probably
now.
Probably that. Yeah. If not that stadium show, the next one, TLC.
No, the next one would be the Saudi Arabia one.
Or they wind up messing with each other in this tournament. This tournament business at, I think, Crown Jewel, they're calling it.
Yes.
So, like, there's going to be a giant World Cup that Bobby Lashley will probably win. But at some point... At some point, Rusev and Aiden are either going to have that match in that tournament, or more likely, one of them's going to interfere and help the other.
Yeah.
Or not help the other.
We'll see. So, yeah, Aiden English, quote-unquote, inadvertently distracted Rusev, where then Nakamura rolled him up for the win, and then Aiden English just beat the crap out of Rusev and said, Happy Rusev Day for the last time.
He actually ripped the entire mic flag off. That's the Rusev Day.
He did.
How disrespectful.
How dare he. God. From there, then, we had AJ versus Almas. And, jeez, what more can we say about this?
This was incredible. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
this is my favorite match of the night.
Oh, this is my favorite match of the month.
Really?
Oh, God, yes.
So, like, even that Hell in a Cell Samoa Joe one wasn't?
That was a very good match. This match was better.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one.
A big statement.
that one flip into the AJ, into the Styles Clash.
If
I hadn't been watching that live, I would have assumed, like, a GIF of that was on the front page of Reddit after.
It was rewound or something?
And had I not been watching live, I would have assumed that's what they did. Yeah. Like, oh, y'all manipulated this GIF to make it look like that happened that way. It's like, no, that happened.
That's really how it got in the Styles Clash. It was just incredible. Like we were talking about a few minutes ago, how great Almas is. We know how great AJ is. Just imagine if this was built up as a feud in a pay-per-view match, how great it would be. This was just a match. Hey, we're just having this match tonight. Enjoy for the next 15 minutes.
Mm.
And we did. Oh, we did very much. And then after the match, Joe came in, started attacking AJ again. AJ countered, got the upper hand, but then Joe immediately escaped and was just kind of playing a few more mind games with him as they get ready for a no DQ match in Australia, which is kind of odd because they're hyping up there must be a winner, yet there was a winner in their last match. Normally they hype up there must be a winner when it was like a draw or a no contest.
There was a winner, but the problem was there was a misread. It was an error by the ref. Yeah, so they mean like a fair win and an accurate one.
But at the same time, though, who's to say in this style of match, the referee could make an error again?
If you want to follow this story to the stipulation's conclusion, the stipulation should be a submissions match. To say, because if it, like, what Samoa Joe would say is, I had you tapping. If it wasn't for that dumb rule that says if my shoulders are down for three...
And the referee
made a mistake. Like the natural conclusion. I also didn't like this finish when it came to their story,
because
their story was so personal and so raw that I would have preferred. And I know they kind of did this at SummerSlam, but I would have preferred AJ like ignored the count of five, where Samoa Joe said something, he just broke and just started beating him down in the corner, and like the referee counted to five and DQ'd him.
Yeah,
because then that would lead us to here where it's like, well, now, referee ain't gonna count to five.
You know, at this point, I could see WWE doing so many different things in storyline and leading us in directions we would have never expected. Whereas beforehand, maybe a few months ago, I thought so many things were predictable.
Mm-hmm.
But at this very moment in time, I feel like they have a land of opportunity in front of them.
What SmackDown is.
Yeah.
Land of opportunity.
Well, someone in the chat room mentioned, I feel like they are building up Andrade to beat AJ at some point.
I hope.
He is getting closer and closer. So I could see that happening. Maybe Samoa Joe doesn't get the win. It's AJ. He still stays on top. And then they build up Andrade to go against AJ. And Samoa Joe maybe goes against Randy Orton or something.
I'm fine with all that.
But I feel like there's so many options right now. And it's great because I would be happy with either.
And they're all so good.
They could put Samoa Joe in a program with a broom. I'd still be interested.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Put Samoa Joe in a program with Greg Hamilton, the ring announcer. I'll watch it.
And I also liked how Samoa Joe kind of backed up at the end of this, you know, into the audience as if he was backing away and a little bit nervous after AJ kind of reacted to him. And then AJ was on top at the end in the ring with his belt, his championship belt. Yep. So I like how they established, well, AJ's still the champion. AJ is still a strong contender to defend his, you know, championship, and there's a chance he will retain this. So I like what WWE is doing. They're really showing a nice balance between these two guys.
Yes.
Also, Greg Hamilton looks like he's kind of strong, too. He could probably bench 200 pounds. About Greg Hamilton.
Greg Hamilton, you've been called out. Steve Kaufman wants to see you bench 200 pounds.
Well, 210 would
can
be.
Can you do it?
Like,
can you do it?
I think he can. I think Greg Hamilton's that strong.
All right. Well,
the
challenge has been issued.
He's on the road with wrestlers. I'd be kind of disappointed.
Billie Kay versus Asuka. Simple. Short.
Sure.
Asuka and Naomi are a fun, odd couple.
Mm.
Asuka with a win, with the Asuka lock.
I finally figured out why Asuka's not used as much as we would all like. And it's that when you look at someone like Carmella or Alexa Bliss or Charlotte or Becky, they can all hold multiple segments on a show because of their grasp of the language where they are. But because of the grasp of the language of where of what the language of the show in the country where they are, that took me a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Whereas Asuka does not have that benefit. Asuka can only be good in the ring. As far as they understand it, Asuka can only be good in the ring. So that means you could go weeks without Asuka being on television.
As in, it's not as entertaining because she can't do everything. And
but she is more of a spectacle.
Yeah, that too. Like, it makes her a little, like, mystical, maybe.
Yeah. So she doesn't have to be on every week to get that big rip because everyone's like, oh, no. Oh, here comes, we're screwed. Here comes Asuka. She's going to beat us up now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. I think you really have to work hard in WWE as a wrestler to have those strengths in all departments, because otherwise you're not going to be successful and a champion. And maybe that's why they did not ever let her win, because she can't hold it down like that. When you have Nakamura, who may not have the best English, but his promos are amazing. They are 10s out of 10s.
And that's why they keep it on the mid-card, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they wouldn't give him the main title because his English is good for the comedy, which is used for mid-card, but they won't say that
similar,
as main event.
But similar to how AJ Styles probably had, including his match, at least 3 segments on the show tonight, whereas Nakamura only had the match.
Yeah.
So I think there's a part
Nakamura
of that.
Was the afterthought in his title match, because the main story was Rusev, English, and Lana. Oh, by the way, there's a U.S. champion having his title match.
So what we're saying is Steve needs to learn Japanese and manage Kairi Sane, Io Shirai.
Sure, just build a stable.
Asuka and Shinsuke Nakamura. That's my stable of 4.
I think Shinsuke would be able to hold himself as a champion, but the writers would have to do more work to make sure they're creating promos that would still make his character really dominant and entertaining. Because that would take a lot of work to still be funny and enjoyable if it isn't his first language.
Championship coronation for Becky Lynch.
Yes.
First off, Paige introduces her. We have the blue carpet in the ring. A You Deserve It chant breaks out in Tulsa. And Becky mentions, for now on, this is my show, and I will not be left off the posters and the talk shows. I'm finally getting what I deserve. Now, granted, Paige, it's not like I needed the entire locker room around here, that, you know, with the entire division that I built. But I want Charlotte out here. Charlotte comes out. We had a brief moment where Team CLB was all in the ring again. It was a reunion. Yay. Everyone already forgot that existed.
I was going to name the other name, but I already made an inappropriate reference tonight.
Charlotte goes, I'm here to show you the respect that you couldn't give me at SummerSlam. I want to look at you and say that night you were the better woman, so congratulations. But I can't wait for the moment where I stand across from you again, and I will in Australia at Super Showdown. And Becky then goes on saying, you know, you said I couldn't win. Well, this title says otherwise. You know, tonight, Charlotte, you can raise my hand. Oh, no, I was kidding. Put the belt around my waist. No, you know, I don't really want that. I want you to call me queen. Bitch.
Wait, I haven't heard anyone say that on the mic like that in a very long time.
It's true.
I thought we weren't allowed to have curse words on.
I guess at that time, because Eastern time, we're almost at 10 p.m.
Also, USA Network, as I watch Suits, and they, like, drop F-bombs on Suits.
But what time is that on normally?
That's on at 9 as well. Huh. So,
yeah,
like,
but I think at but that's a TV 14 show. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they do it and then figure it out.
But isn't, like, FCC, don't they have regulations on that stuff?
I'm sure they do.
The regulations aren't specific. The regulations are if enough people complain and we feel like coming after you, we'll
no,
let
they're
you
specific.
Fine.
When Janet Jackson had her boobies out, but that, well, they that, got sued.
But that was also 15 or so years. Things have changed.
And they're also, then, they're not specific on language per se.
And that was not 15 years ago, FYI.
What year was that then?
Do you want me to Google it right now?
I don't want to say it was like 2002, 2003.
It was literally 2003.
Yeah, 2002, 2003. Go on and look. You can look for that.
We guys, where's time gone? Oh my god!
But here's the thing, real quick. I just need to say, for everyone that still is arguing, 2004,
yeah,
14 years ago.
Whatever.
This will be the 50th anniversary of this coming Super Bowl.
That's shocking.
For everyone that's still saying no, Becky is the face in all this. How many baby faces have the carpet set in the ring? Have to have a coronation. Say they built the entire division, make the other person try to put the title around my waist, call me queen, say bitch. That is the definition of a heel.
Yeah.
What she did. Crowd can enjoy it. I enjoy it. I will cheer for her because I enjoy the attitude. She is the villain. It's done. Period. She is the villain of this.
They pivoted away, though.
Yes.
Because the plan was for her to be straight up heel, but after SummerSlam, they pivoted slightly to be her, to be more of a tweener or a Stone Cold-esque character. That when she work, she's going to work with Charlotte at the Australia show, but assuming at Evolution she works with someone else, that someone else is a heel, I guarantee it.
Oh, no. No, I think it'll be like another legendary face. I don't know. I'm trying to think of who might be available. But to me, I'm sick of everyone comparing this to Stone Cold. It's not Stone Cold. This is John Cena and Edge. Becky is Edge when Edge finally got to the top of the main event. The opportunist.
Well, I think people are finally coming to terms with this because in the very beginning of this segment, everyone was cheering for Becky. Like, you deserve it. We've heard all those chants. But at the very end of this, with her on the runway, exiting with the championship belt in her hand, they weren't really cheering so much anymore. Right. So I think we've all come to the terms with she is now officially a heel.
Yep. And Canary Productions, the chat mentioned Molly Holly. She's not announced yet. I would love that match. Becky Lynch and Molly Holly, that'd be fun.
That means, but Becky Lynch is going to keep the title, though.
Yes.
Okay, I was like, what?
No, Molly Holly's not winning the title.
All I know is there are seven matches announced for WWE Evolution, only five of which have participants. Like, everything, like, you can look on the page, it's like TBA versus, it's TBD versus TBD, except for the Mae Young Classic Final, which, for those who don't want spoilers, is also TBD versus TBD. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. We'll see, but we got about 5 minutes left. We got some wrestling rap to get into. I think Gabby's ready for this.
Oh, yes.
All right. What we got?
Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Please.
All right. Well, he's back, and he's ready for a title shot to regain the championship. Brock Lesnar is set to fight Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman in a triple threat match on November 2nd at the next pay-per-view for the Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia. And although Lesnar is still on the WWE roster, he plans to eventually return to the UFC like we all thought, but possibly for an early 2019 match. Or fight, I should say. There's a big deal on the line producing regular shows for Saudi Arabia. So who can blame Brock Lesnar for sticking around, right? He's rumored to be making well into the seven figures, a.k.a. millions, if you weren't able to calculate that. Yeah, it's crazy. So while WWE is pulling in an estimated $45 million in revenue just from Saudi Arabia's deal, that's what they're looking at based off their, you know, business quarterly review. It's crazy, and they're able to now pay out more money towards these big superstars to keep them on.
It's great that the wrestlers are going to get bigger paydays because they deserve it. I don't know if Brock deserves seven figures for one match, but it's great that they're able to do that. I'm happy that they're making more money with it. I just don't like how it's coming about, especially in, you know, we're building a women's evolution, right? Well, we're going to go do this second show where we're not going to have any women on the show because they won't allow it.
I don't want to get into that. I do want to get into Brock. He needs to be in a testing pool for 6 months, I think. Like, the long and short of it for the UFC-wise is he needs to be in a testing, like, because he had a violation in Nevada, and they technically took away his last win because of it, and probably most of the purse. I believe he needs to, like, have clean urine for 6 months or something stupid, so while he's doing that, he's getting $1 million to do one match in Saudi Arabia, which... like, reportedly, I personally think he's worth $2 million from Saudi Arabia up through Mania, but he'll only do five matches.
Maybe.
Well, he's making well into the seven figures, yeah. So probably more than $1 million.
And I think he's going to start a camp in the, like, early 2019, and then he'll have a fight before Mania, and then he'll probably have a match at Mania. I don't think this amount that's reported is for one night.
Oh,
I think it's a loosey-goosey 12-month contract.
He's overpaid, but the fact that they are making more money so more guys can get paid more, that's good, but it's got to be spread out, and it's really not for the best reasons, because now you're saying money is more important than this women's evolution. That's my interpretation of it. I may be in a minority of it, but that's my... And there are going to be more events in Saudi Arabia. But if they keep shelling the money, they're going to do them.
But that's how... But a woman, like, just started... Women's just started driving in Saudi Arabia. So, like, progress has to come from somewhere.
Sure.
So, in this case, progress comes from the WWE coming at all. I don't think it's right that, like, Saudi Arabia is so behind in the times, but at the very least, they're, like, trying to move forward with things like this. Do I think it's, pure philosophically, I think it's wrong that women can't wrestle in Saudi Arabia, but the Western culture is what will invade Saudi Arabia and allow for equality. And I think the WWE, instead of doing nothing, is doing something.
Right. What else we got?
Hopefully, before I move on to the next subject, hopefully they could take some of that earning and give it to the women for their salary.
I hope you're right.
That would be nice, right? So my next story is Impact executives Scott D'Amore and Ed Nordholm have met with WWE executives in Stamford, Connecticut as of last week. And it was Triple H's team and some of... Triple H with his team. This was reported by PW Insider. So everyone's wondering, like, what were they talking about? Well, PW Insider kind of covered what they didn't talk about. And it doesn't have to do with ownership at all. There's no ownership deals being thrown around. And they're more so discussing maybe a possible collaboration between Impact and WWE. So I'm just wondering what they're actually doing in that meeting. Do you guys have any thoughts on...
I would say film library stuff.
Yeah, footage. That's all WWE ever seems to really be interested in when it comes to a promotion. I think they only spent $2 million on WCW, which at one point was their main competitor. And all they were really interested in were... All they were really interested in was that tape library, because the contracts weren't even... Half the contracts were through Time Warner.
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
You got any more? We got to wrap up. So maybe one more.
So
quick
I know
one.
You're always rushing me because you don't like my news, but
no, it's not that I'm rushing. It's
maybe
just...
we should cut your Christian's closet out.
First off, my Christian's closet is far shorter than your segment.
Depends how many people's outfits you like that episode. But anyways, really quickly, Alexa Bliss did not compete in the Mixed Match Challenge tonight due to an arm injury from Hell in a Cell. She had a really strong beating from Ronda Rousey, and Kathy Kelly reported that Ember Moon was going to be filling in for the Fiery Superstar. So she did that, and as far as we know, Alexa Bliss will not be competing at the house shows this weekend right now because she has not been cleared yet.
That's fine. Sell the beating that Rousey gave you. I'm fine with that.
Mm.
Do you guys think her injuries could be serious in a short answer?
I think it's just part of the story. I don't think it's real at all.
No, I don't think it's a work. They had t-shirts.
They had t-shirts for what?
Team Little Big. There are t-shirts that say Team Little Big.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so okay. Taking her away from the Braun Strowman team on less than 24 hours notice, that's a shoot.
Well, and hopefully it's not serious then.
Apparently her left arm is going a little numb, and that's part of the problem. Mm. So hopefully she gets better and we see her soon. Last story, 27-year-old Mahabali Shera, who signed with WWE back in February, has been reportedly released from his contract. Was this move predictable, you guys?
Well, they haven't used him at all.
And people come and go.
Yeah.
Like,
they didn't think it was the right fit for them for whatever reason. Like, he could be back.
Like a developmental prospect is different from an actual...
Yeah.
Like, if that happened to Matt Riddle, we'd all be shocked. But with him, it's like, they signed him.
Try to see what he would do. They weren't happy about something and let him go.
They signed him, let him see what they could do in the Performance Center. Didn't like him, let him go.
And leaving more room for other people to come in.
Yes. Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, I just wanted to ask you guys, where do you think Kevin Owens will be next? What's his next move?
Retire and come back the following week?
Bola next year.
Yes, there you go.
What?
He'll win Battle of Los Angeles in a year.
Okay. Sure.
All right, well, on that note, we got to wrap this show up. We want to know what you guys think. Let us know on iTunes, on YouTube. Like, subscribe, 5 stars, share, and talk to us on various forms of social media. Steve Kaufman, thank you for filling in. How can people reach out to you?
People can reach out to me if they see me on the street. They can also find me on Twitter, at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. Tomorrow morning, I will be on X-Pac 12360 talking to the Bola winner, Jeff Cobb.
Gabby Loren.
And you guys can follow me at Gabby Loren TV. That's GABBYLOREN TV. I also have a YouTube channel. Please subscribe. The link is in that bio. And again, Women of Wrestling tickets for the live shows following up with Comic-Con, October 10th and 11th. You can get on Ticketmaster.com.
And follow me on Twitter, at Will Rosenberg, Instagram, The Will Rosenberg, ProsandTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. September, that's what we're in now, September 27th. Brian Kendrick's Wrestling Pro Wrestling is back in Burbank. Are you not in Burbank? That's okay. You can watch it on Twitch, twitch.tv/Wrestling Pro Wrestling. I will be there. Our buddy The Hobo will be there. And our buddy George Ramosa supposedly will have his in-ring debut. So if you're not local, you want to watch it on Twitch.
No pressure, George.
No pressure at all, George. You better not suck. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and comments, follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Steve Kaufman and Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.